All right. So, you know, we're actually in a part three message today. Lessons of Ezekiel 20, part three. And it feels like so long since those first two were given, right? We had the, you know, we were knocked out, what was it? It was just last week, right? We were not, no, yeah, no. 2 weeks ago, I guess, we were knocked out because of the storm. It was last week. Wow, even that seems like a long way off. And we, you know, I missed Shabbat. No, we were here for last week. No, we weren't. Wow. Because I'm so thrown off because Yom Kippur was squeezed in the middle there. So we missed our Shabbat service, which I was mostly saddened by because we missed Rabbi Jack Zimmerman of Jewish Voice. I know he had a great message for us, but it just didn't work out this year. But if I can get him during the year, I absolutely will. But it may not be until another year before we have the opportunity to have him back again. But if we can, I absolutely will. So, and we had that wonderful Yom Kippur service in the middle there. And it just seems like such a long time since we've had it. So it was really about 3 weeks ago that we started looking at Ezekiel 20. And we're seeing in this chapter, it has a lot to tell us, a lot being revealed about the past, the present, and even the future of Israel. And when I say Israel, I don't mean just the Hebrew people who became Israel, but I mean all those who were engrafted in. I mean, Gentiles who are engrafted in, they may not become Jewish, but they can become part of Israel when they follow after our God in this and the Word. I believe in the Word itself. Now, let me just do a bit of reviewing about Ezekiel himself. For those who don't remember, he was a prophet during the time that Nebuchadnezzar had taken Jerusalem, and he sent about 10,000 people out of Jerusalem and sent them into exile in Babylon. Now, Ezekiel didn't prophesize while he was in the land of Jerusalem. It wasn't until after he went to Babylon that he started to prophesy. Excuse me. He was a married man. He was well educated. He was of a priestly family. He didn't start to have his prophecies until about 593 BCE. And this particular chapter 20, this vision, didn't come to him until 587. So really about 6-7 years after his first vision. So it's not the first, but I think it has one of the more important messages, especially for us today. So that first week, way back, what feels like way back when, that first week we went over the first 12 verses. And in those first 12 verses, we saw that Adonai was not happy with the Israelites because while they were in Egypt, they took the Egyptian gods for themselves as well, the gods and the idols. And you know, as much as that was a problem, there was even a bigger problem, that when he took them out of Israel, out of Egypt, they took the idols with them. That was a big problem because it showed they were still in rebellion. Even after coming out of Egypt, they were still in rebellion. Out of the land that represented slavery, but they brought the slavery with them, with their idols and with their false gods. But the good news is that Adonai had a plan to save Israel. Now, when I say he has a plan to save Israel, it didn't mean that everyone who's coming out was going to be saved. Salvation for the Israelites was not automatic just because they were part of Israel, just because of who their parents were, It's the same today. Just because of who your parents are or just because you're Jewish doesn't mean automatic salvation. It takes a personal decision for salvation. And that's where the scriptures took us for the second week. That second week of the study of Ezekiel 20, how they viewed their God and how they viewed their Savior. It took us to a place of warning that the sacrifices that they were making were not pure and true sacrifices to Adonai. That they were trying to mix and mingle and merge what Adonai had for them and the worship they were supposed to have for Adonai himself with the things around them, with all of the people that they were coming in contact with the Egyptians and everything else. They were trying to improve. They were trying to improve what Adonai had in store for them, improve the worship they were supposed to give to Adonai, improve the sacrifices that they were supposed to. Oh, it worked so well for the people of the land. Look, Egypt was so strong that if we bring their gods with us, then we'll be strong too. But we know that's not the way it works. And even if they weren't trying to improve it, they were at least trying to do just the least amount they could, just enough to get by, to gain a blessing. But we know that's not the way it works either. And Adonai used the Sabbath as the example or as a symbol of his instructions, saying that they were not keeping the Sabbath while really saying they were not keeping all of the instructions. So Adonai was saying in here, you know, you're not keeping the Sabbath, but he really is saying, you're not keeping my instructions. The Sabbath was just one example of it. The Sabbath was just the one that you could see most easily outwardly, but they weren't keeping his instructions. We recall that what Adonai did when we read Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote in Romans 1, right? When we read the new covenant, the Brit Hadashah, it's really a drash. It's really a commentary on the old. So we can see things in the old that are brought out in the new. So here we have Rav Shaul writing in Romans 1, starting in verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in their evil desires of their hearts to impurity, to dishonor their bodies with one another. They traded the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And I finished part two with a few verses from Hosea that indicated Adonai's heart towards those who were not following the instructions of his with that pure heart they were supposed to be. In other words, they didn't have a heart that was dedicated to Adonai like they were supposed to. In Hosea 6:4, it says this: O Ephraim, what shall I do for you? O Judah, what will I do for you? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud, or like dew rising early, vanishing. Therefore I cut them down by the prophets. I slew them by the words of my mouth. Now the judgments pronounced against you, light will go forth. For I delight in loyalty, not sacrifice, knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they transgressed a covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. They were a sometimes people of Adonai. What do I mean by sometimes people? Sometimes he was the most important, and sometimes he wasn't. The importance of Shabbat seemed to be like the dew in the morning that vanishes, he says. Even as you look at it, it vaporizes. That was how they looked at the importance of Shabbat. And he says loyalty seemed to shift with whatever was going on that day. We see it even today, right? Sometimes it's soccer for the kids that's more important. So we take a Shabbat off here or there, or we take a season off here and there. Sometimes it's a meeting that we like to go to. You know, they only have this meeting every once in a while, so I go to this meeting every once in a while. It's okay. It's okay. I like to be involved in that. I like to be involved in this. We think Adonai is ahead of everything, but sometimes we're placing things besides Adonai, and sometimes without even realizing it, it encroaches to before Adonai. And things become more important than him. Now, I understand one-off situations. Absolutely. But we have to be careful about how we look at them. What's more important? Is his Shabbat? Is his high holidays? Is it his, you know, feasts? What's the most important thing to him? And is it the most important thing to us? For Adonai's feeling about this, we go back to the text, to Ezekiel 20, verse 30, where I left off a couple of weeks ago. So Ezekiel 20, 30 and 31 says this: "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says Adonai Elohim, will you pollute yourself after the manner of your fathers and go after their abominations? When offering your gifts, making your sons pass through the fire, you keep polluting yourselves with all your idols up to this day. So should I be inquired by you, house of Israel? As I live," it's a declaration of Adonai, "I will not be inquired by you." We just saw Hosea say that Adonai delights in loyalty and knowledge of him. And yes, they do have to be both, and they does have to be at the same time. Can't just be, you know, loyal to him, and you can't just have knowledge of him. Because there are a lot of people with a lot of knowledge that are not loyal to Adonai. And there are a lot of people who think they come every week and they're being loyal, but they have no knowledge of him. So it does have to be both. Those that are not showing both of these two attributes, he says, are polluted in the matters of the fathers, and the things that they go after are abominations. Now, I'm not saying, and I don't believe Adonai is saying, that the meetings and the soccer and the special events that people go to are abominations. But then being outside the priorities of Adonai are the abominations for us today. Having things before Adonai is the same as passing children through the fire. It's the same as having idols. And we know that placing anything above Adonai is what he calls a sin, because that's what it is. You may say, now wait, Rabbi, hold on one moment. Being busy with something else other than Adonai, or placing other things above Adonai's instructions first, you know, sometimes this is important to us. He calls it an abomination. It's all the same kind of sin to him, large or small. Anything placed before him, regardless what it is, he looks at it the same way. Now, I can make the exception for those who work on Shabbat, because in today's society, we see this. You have to do some things that you have to do. I know, I was out there. I was able to avoid it, but I understand that not everybody can. Ezekiel says very specifically that those placing other things before him are polluting themselves, and that Adonai will not accept the inquiry of that person. The prayers will not be heard. The healings desired will not occur. The blessings just won't happen. Not my words. I would desire that they all happen still, but according to Adonai's word, it can't be. Now, going forward in Ezekiel, we hear of the true loving heart of Adonai. He is not ready to give up on anyone that he has created. We see this in the next verse, back to Ezekiel 20. The next verse being Ezekiel 20, 32. And I'm going to read a chunk here all the way up through 36. What comes up in your mind will not happen at all. When you say, let us be like the nations, like the families of the countries worshiping wood and stone. As I live, it is a declaration of Adonai. Surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will be king over you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out from the countries where you are scattered. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with fury poured out, I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples. I will judge you there face to face. Just as I judged your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will judge you. It is a declaration of Adonai. Listen to both the jealousy and the love of Adonai in these verses, especially the first couple of verses. Ezekiel says the people will say, let us be like the nations. Because of the way these verses read, their prophecy is to the nation of Israel and those who attach themselves to her. Adonai appears to be giving the nations totally over to the world. But then he shows that he still loves and cares for them, that he does not want to give up on Israel or anybody, actually. Adonai says that they are thinking of leaving me, but what they are thinking will not happen. I will reach back out to them with my mighty hand and outstretched arm, and I will be their king. Regardless of what we think is best, he really knows what's best for us and will, out of his love, make it available to us. But this is done in steps. Adonai says that he will bring them out into the wilderness to deal with them, and not into the promised land right away. Before they were going to be able to get to that promised land, they needed to be corrected by Adonai first. This is for the nation, but it's also for us as well, each and every one of us. We sometimes in our lives, and I believe it happens to everybody sometime in their life, we'll find ourselves taken out of one place, but not placed into what we think of as our promised land, or the answer to the promise that Adonai has already made to us. Things will look different, but they're not the fulfilled promise of Adonai. That's because he will not, or in other words, he is not able to fulfill all the promises of his promised land until you are right with Adonai and follow the instructions of Adonai purely and without intermingling them with the world. Adonai will not just leave you, but will discipline and correct individuals and Israel as a nation so that he can regather nations and individuals. I'm not saying that you should have nothing to do with the world, but that priorities have to be set. And that sometimes it means that those things of the world will have to be skipped for spiritual growth to happen. When Adonai addresses people as well as the nations of Israel, then Adonai addresses the people as well as the nation of Israel. For the person in the nation, verse 37 tells us what that'll look like. So verses 37 and 38 of Ezekiel 20 say this: I will make you pass under the rod and bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge out the rebels from among you and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out from the land where they dwell, but they will not enter the land of Israel. So you will know I am Adonai. I believe this is a word for both the current times for them, the current times for us, and our future as well. Ezekiel says that the people, and I believe it's correct to read that as individuals, not just as the nation of Israel, will be made to pass under the rod, which indicates that they're going to go through a period of judgment. Today we see this judgment. It's called having salvation or not having salvation, saved or lost. The problem is that it happens and many don't even perceive it as happening. It happens without great fanfare. There's no mark that's placed on a person. There's not something like a driver's license that once you pass the test, here's your driver's license. Now you have something to show off. This is why. This is why. And the same thing is true that when you fail and that driver's license can be pulled from you, well, you don't see when salvation gets pulled from you. You don't see that you're in sin and no longer walking his path. You don't even recognize it half the time, more than half the time. Salvation is unseen by physical eyes, but nonetheless is going on, and decisions are being made every day by people, by the actions and by their heart attitudes. And it will also happen in the future. Matthew 25:31, Yeshua tells us of the same passing under the rod. Matthew 25:31, starting there. Now when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another to another, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, to his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. There is a time that will come for the final and eternal separation of those who are in covenant with their whole heart and those who are not. Yeshua will judge and separate at his second coming to earth. For those with a whole heart devotion to him, he will say they are blessed by my Father. Yeah. Inherit the kingdom. But what are the others, those with less than a wholehearted devotion to him? We see the answer a few verses later, Matthew 25:46. Those shall go to everlasting punishment, but the righteous to everlasting life. Adonai is not stuck when he says, all of Israel will be saved, and saving those who count themselves as Israel just because they're Hebrews. or calling themselves believers. That doesn't put Adonai in a box. They're saved. I can't do anything about that. Got to get in now. That's not the way it works. Each individual will go under the rod and be judged, and Israel will not be what some people expect it to be at that end time. It will be who Adonai wants it to be. The ones who are following wholeheartedly all his instructions, that's who Israel will be called at the end time. That does not mean that anyone is replacing anyone in this life, but that in the time to come, we will truly see the one new man that Adonai calls for. Jew and Gentile will be judged the same and will be one. Now, judgment sounds harsh, but it's really not. And it's not because of the word given out now. It's not because he gives us the word now. It's not harsh because he tells us what the instructions are now. The problem is we don't know how much time we have. Any one person who has to make that decision doesn't know when it becomes too late. They don't know when their last breath is going to be or when Messiah Yeshua returns that second time. Because when that happens, then the rod that divides the righteous and the unrighteous will come about and decide their eternity. The final reading for today will be a race to the end of Ezekiel 20. It's a large chunk of reading. Adonai speaks again with irony and sarcasm, which we saw not too long ago. He does it again. So we're going to start in Ezekiel 39 to the end. And let me just say this. In the Hebrew scriptures, it ends like five verses beforehand. There are a couple of verses that trickle into 21 in the Hebrew verses, but in the English verses, they're part of 20. So we're not considering them today for this study. Ezekiel 39. As for you, house of Israel, thus says Adonai Elohim, go on serving your idols, all of you. Yet afterwards, you will surely listen to me. My holy name will no longer profane with your gifts and your idols. For in my holy mountain, Israel's high mountain, it is a declaration of Adonai, there the whole house of Israel, all of them, will serve me in the land. There I will take pleasure in them. There I will receive your offerings, the first of your gifts, with all your holy things. With your sweet aroma, I will accept you. When I bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered, I will be sanctified in you and in your sight of the nations. You will know that I am Adonai when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country where I lifted up my hand to give it to their father, to your fathers. There you will remember your ways and all of your deeds by which you defiled yourselves. You will loathe yourself for all of your evil that you have done. Then you will know that I am Adonai when I deal with you for my name's sake, and not according to your evil ways and your corrupt deeds, house of Israel. It is a declaration of Adonai. Adonai says, if you want to go serve your other gods, go on. But know this, Israel, there will be a time that Israel will be saved. It will include all who have a totally devoted heart for me and my instructions. That's what Adonai says. all Israel will be saved, meaning that at the end of time, all will be judged, and those who are judged to be righteous will be Israel. They will remember all of their sins. They'll remember that they're sinners. They'll remember the things that went on. But here's the good news. Adonai will have cleansed them with the blood of Messiah Yeshua, and he will not remember the sins any longer. Then you will offer sacrifices that are true, pure, and wholehearted. Adonai speaks of Israel's high mountain, which many interpret to be Jerusalem and the redemption of the Jewish people. But Adonai, since Adam and Eve, has been concerned not of the redemption of just one people, but the redemption of all peoples, all that he has created. So the high mountain prophesied about, I believe, is heaven, and will include all the people who are righteous before his throne. In the end, Adonai will have his way. That is salvation, love, mercy, peace for all Israel as a nation, and for the people who align themselves with him, even as it will not be for each and every person that ever lived. Some people want to say Adonai is going to save all of Israel, and they interpret that to mean every person who's Jewish is going to be saved. That becomes a problem because that means a lot of people are not witnessing to the Jews, because the word says all Israel will be saved. I have a different take on it. All Israel is going to be all who are saved at the end times. So what are you doing? You're carving out a large chunk of people who are not going to be saved at the end of time. We need to witness to them. All peoples not only include the Jewish people, but they include the Muslim people. They include the Hindu people. They include the agnostic. They include everybody. He wants them all to be saved. But how will they be saved if someone doesn't go to them and speak to them? So this is where we'll end our study in Ezekiel 20. As I said, there's another five verses in your English translations, but they're not there in the Hebrew translations. And they're actually part of another prophecy. So that's why I didn't include them as well. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you will save all of Israel. But it's not the saving of all Israel that I think most people think of. It's the saving of all who are fully dedicated to you in their heart, in their actions, in their spirit. Ruach, we ask that you move upon the world today to bring more in alignment with your spirit, so there will be more who are fully devoted to you. Ruach, we know your heart is that none would be lost. So we ask that you move. Give us opportunity to speak to the lost. Give us opportunity to pray for the lost. Give us opportunity to pray with the lost, that they would no longer be lost. Help us to disciple. Help us to teach. Help us to be discipled and taught. Ruach, we depend upon you for it all. For it is not going to be the breath of man that saves anybody, but it will be the breath of Adonai that saves all. Breathe on your people and bring salvation to them all. We ask this in Yeshua's name, the one who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, the one who has spilled his blood for the salvation of all people. Father, we thank you that salvation has come to a world. We ask now that you remove the blinders and the veils before people's eyes that are in the world, so they will know that you are that salvation through Messiah Yeshua. And we all say, amen and amen.